that makes us appreciate Anna more.
Yes.
Well, let's see. I don't see too much more accumulation out there. Let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We got started there last week, and we looked at faithfulness, what it's demanded, and the principle of accountability, and we looked at some important phases of that, and how it's important that if we're going to be faithful, that you know, we should be, if we make a commitment, we should be honorable to that, and makes it very, very important for us. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for the day that we can meet into your house and gather around your word. And Father, we thank you for each of these lessons and the challenge that it is for us to see what the new church went through. But Father, that it's examples to us today. The series of letters is a manual for us and how we are to conduct ourselves by showing us the examples of what not to do. But Father, we know that you encourage us daily through reading, through our prayer, through fellowship, that you encourage us to live a life that's honoring to you in all areas, that we're stewards of your word, that we're your instruments. And Father, I thank you that you help keep us sharp through looking into your word. And Father, I do pray this morning that this lesson is your lesson. We know that it's your words that are being presented. I pray that you would put me aside and that you would be glorified through all of this, and that we would just learn more and more. And again, that we would see what you would want us to be doing until you come for us. And we ask this all for your son's sake. Amen. Well, it is kind of amazing when the Apostle Paul lays out essentially some charges, but as verse 3 says, it says, "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be justified of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." And basically, he's not intimidated by what the Corinthians are thinking of him. Really, I don't think he was intimidated, but really by anybody's thought of his ministry. And that's kind of important, because as a steward, they were not in a popularity contest. They were to do the master's will. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He knew that any evaluation that a human had of his service was going to be flawed. And he even said himself at the end of verse 3 there, he says, "And yea, judge not my own self." And it's really important that we realize that we can make our own judgments, yeah. And sometimes they're fairly accurate, but even the most honest evaluation is flawed when you lay it up next to Jesus Christ. And when he looks at us, he's going to find those flaws. And it's his choice to overlook the flaws or to point the flaws out. And it's always fun to, for me anyway, to equate, you know, evaluation of things. And I got to do that quite a bit in the military. I did it my former job. I still do it with my consulting business. But it's always interesting when you can equate it to some things. You think of people that do fine finishing on painting a car or painting finishing a surface. They want to get all the flaws out of it. And I worked with a wood turner, and it was amazing to see what the things that he turned out. And as he would go through, he would turn stuff down that felt really nice and clean and pristine, and he wasn't ready to finish it yet. He'd start out with, you know, 200 grit, and he'd work his way up to 12,000 grit. I mean, we're talking stuff that feels like a sheet of paper when you put it on there. But when he was done, then he would put essentially super glue over it and put five coats of this on. And then he'd come back with that 12,000 just to make sure he got all the little flaws out of it. That wasn't good enough. Then he took it over to his buffing wheel, and I don't even know what grit. Well, he used diamond, but it was, you know, you could pick it up and it felt like flour or something like that. And he would buff it to a super high gloss. In fact, Pastor's got one of his pens. I've got one here. And the metal finish is starting to wear off, but the wood that he turned with that is still just as tough. And you run your finger across, you can't feel it. And it's amazing. That's kind of an earthly comparison to what Jesus Christ, when he looks at us, he's going to see all those flaws. And when he makes us perfect, those flaws won't be there anymore. He'll take them out. I think Pastor even made a to the potter, where the potter would look for those little flaws that's in there. And if it was too much, well, he used that pot for a different purpose. But he would make sure that if he could get all of those little rocks and pieces out of there to where it was finally finished, just smooth as could be. Now, I tease Brother Nick about his concrete finishing. You know, he says, yeah, we can make your garage floor shine if you want. You know, it was pretty rough. We went to 400 grit. You could see your face in it. He said, well, we can go to 8 or 10,000 if you want. I was like, for a garage floor? No, I don't think so. You know, but yeah, what's nice about it is it's not slick. You go in there, I mean, dirt doesn't stick around. You can step on it and you don't fall down. But there are some finishes that are that nice that nothing will stay on it, a surface. And when we're going to be judged, we're going to be judged in that way. The slightest flaw that's there is going to be pointed out. Humans can't see it. We can't see it oftentimes. You know, they say we're blind to a lot of our own problems. In fact, that was always the most interesting thing in the military and in civilian life, to ask somebody to write their own evaluation. What do you think of yourself? To see, well, one, I like to see, just do people really think as highly of themselves as they say? And sometimes they do, then you can kind of have fun with that. But oftentimes, and we're going to see here in the next few verses about, you know, adding to things. You know, people build up their resumes. You know, I graduated from MIT, you know, as long as you don't go look at their transcripts, you'll find it that, you know, you can say all you want. You know, people like to puff themselves up. But it says, in verse 4 says, for I know nothing of myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And so we're seeing that, you know, there's a prospect of approval in here, in that the apostle, the steward, and the apostle Paul was pointing out that I'm not looking for men's approval. I'm not even looking for my own approval. I'm looking for what God's approval in doing things. And, you know, we all like a pat on the back. And that sometimes helps us continue in our ministry. But, you know, positive and, you know, sometimes negative, we need that to maybe work a flaw on an earthly level out. But the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not looking for those, and I'm not going to depend on those to build me up. I'm looking for what God's approval is. And so one of the questions is why is being concerned about the Lord's judgment an important part of being faithful to the Lord? Why is that? Anybody's thought in there? Yeah, that's it. He's the one that we have to answer to. You know, we want the Lord's judgment on it. It's like we get when we decide, well, when we were moving, retiring from the military and moving out here, we wanted to make sure that what we were doing was in the Lord's will. Well, I had opportunities to work in some ministries back in Virginia. But one of the ministries that we needed here was that we had unsaved family. And since we've been out here, we've seen some come to the Lord. We've seen others say that they've made a profession of faith and rededicated their life and our intending church. Have we got them all? No, we haven't. But that's one thing we're looking for. That's what God wants us to do. I'm sure like Pastor Crawford, when he moved his family out here, he was looking, is the Lord leading me out there? Is the Lord leading me in that? And knowing that when they go, they have a very clear conscience of it. The Apostle Paul said he had a clear conscience. Acts 24:16 says, Herein do I exercise myself to all have always a conscious void of offense toward God and toward men. So he wanted to make sure that he had no knowing offense toward people. Now, in preaching the gospel, he's going to probably offend people. But is he overly concerned by that? No, because that's what God wants. God wants us to present the gospel. Is it going to offend? Yeah, it is. You ask Pastor Crawford, does he apologize for preaching the gospel here, preaching that sin is sin, that you have to know Jesus Christ and to know him before you can do good works? No, he's not ashamed of that. And as each one of us, when we present the gospel to one of our family members or a friend, we should not be afraid of the result of them because, Scripture says, who are they really rejecting? They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. And Paul knew that only the Lord could evaluate him effectively. Like he said in verse 4, it says, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Not anybody else, that's him. And true, men can give us accolades, but we shouldn't rely on that. He longed for God's approval in things. God told him early on, you're gonna go through some terrible times. But he also assured him that he'll be well rewarded. Verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He's showing that that we look for his judgment, but we're not going to get it early. We're not going to see a lot of those. I mean, we'll probably see the results, and I guess when you look at it from a human point of view, if you're preaching the gospel and you're seeing the results, that's an evaluation from God, that he can help you with those results. It might be an easy way, but any human judgment is going to be flawed. That's one thing that we have to keep in mind and realize that we need to understand that when we thank somebody for doing a job well done or give them some appreciation, we're doing it from an earthly level. Hopefully that person receives it. Like my wife always says, don't give me the thanks. You'll take away some of my blessing. And that's kind of it might be not really flying in the face of somebody giving you that accolade, but it's when we can be humbled enough to accept the thanks of men and realize that I'm not going to live on that. It's, I guess if you were wanting that for your spiritual meal, it's going to be pretty meager when you really think about that. And there are a lot of people today, though, that's what they're looking for, and that's really, really sad. That I'm going to, I want to build myself up in front of these people. And we're going to see, I mean, the Corinthians were already doing that with a lot of these folks. They were building up a lot of the church leaders and, having their little special little Sunday school classes. I only go to that class or I'll only go to that one. Some larger churches, they've got a Sunday school class for every type of group. We've got young married couples. Then you've got, old married couples. Then you might have young singles, college age, old singles, you know, just all of these ones through there. Sometimes people will go, you know, go to certain classes because they like how that person presents things. And, you know, maybe they won't feel out of place. But sometimes they're putting special emphasis on somebody, a little more than they probably should. Is it like, well, do you have to go to that class? Well, you know, maybe I could be in there listening to Brian and enjoying his class, you know? I like to draw, you know, have good exercise, you know, and I don't think too many of us are going to fit in there, though. But, you know, but that's the thing is we can enjoy listening to somebody and how something's being presented, but it's when we take that person and goes, I am only going to listen to him and nobody else. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. Sadly, the internet's made a lot of that possible, you know, where certain ones, I'm only going to listen to this guy and this type of preaching and nobody else. And all of a sudden, you've kind of made that person an idol. And that's kind of dangerous. And so what we're trying to do is we don't want to judge them. We don't want them to judge us, but we want to be judged of the Lord and let that person's ministry be judged of the Lord, both good and bad, because we know there's some ministries out there that, well, we personally dislike how their ministries are going forward. Maybe in what they're presenting, how they're presenting, you know, when somebody's not presenting the gospel in a proper way, when they're making, you know, they just want the easy believism and they want to gain people in so that they can see numbers. You know, personally, we oftentimes will condemn that, but in reality, we're saying, Lord, we know we want you to be the judge of it and give us wisdom. You know, and maybe say, oh, you don't go to that place. Maybe that's what it is. Or, you know, maybe you know how to pray for that person. God will give us wisdom and direction. And that's probably the best way to look at it, is when we judge something, we ask the Lord to give us wisdom in that area, and then we know how to pray. But the whole thing is the Lord, as he lays down here, he wants to judge nothing before its time until the Lord come, who will both bring light and the hidden things of darkness. That's that time of judgment. When we individually will stand before the Lord and we'll be judged of the work that we've done. Not somebody else's work. It's our individual work. You know, we can't turn around and go, well, you know, I was a member of this church and that's how we did things there. No, he's going to say, how did you do it? And it's those little flaws that are in us. And, you know, you can really look at that and think that it's really good, but it's, you know, like having that speck of dust that you thought you got rid of it all. But in reality, that's the Lord is the one that's going to find it. And so it kind of teaches us that we should not be guilty of harsh judgments of others. That's one thing for us personally to think about. But also, it's that we cannot know somebody else's feelings and motives. Even when we judge somebody's ministry, but then again, that ministry or that judgment can come back to us because somebody else, they don't know what our motives and feelings are, and we don't know what their motives and feelings are. So that's kind of important. And so the secret things that will be brought to forth at the day of judgment, and nothing will be concealed beyond that. So none of that will be concealed before the Lord. Now, are we going to be the voyeurs standing around going, wow, I wonder what he's pointing out to them? No, it's going to be, it's really none of our business. It's kind of like when Peter was talking to Christ about John, you know, well, what's he doing? You know, is he going to be good? And Jesus said, what's that to you? That's really what it comes down to. What is it to you? And I'm sure if we walked into that and like Peter walked in mouth first and asked that question, well, you know, the person that just left, you know, he goes, that's none of your business. Okay. And he'll probably say it in such a way that we definitely will be admonished to know that, okay, we don't want to be saying it. But then again, we might not. When we walk in there, we will probably be at the most humble that we can be when we're called before him. And he's going to evaluate us. I know there were times when I had things that were being evaluated and only what I was doing. And sometimes it got a little fearful, depending on how that person approached you. I don't think Jesus Christ is going to approach you in such a way that you're going to be scared and fearful and fall on your face in the fetal position, you know, quivering. I think he's going to bring you in there. He's going to make you feel humble, but he's also going to make you feel welcomed and make it such that here's some things that you missed. But you know what? These are some things that you did right. He's going to show us the good and the bad. Because when it's all said and done, the only good thing that comes out of that is the fact that we will be perfected. He's going to make us perfect. He's going to knock all those flaws away so that we will be useful tools. You know, like it says, that every man shall receive justice. He shall be treated as he ought to be. The destiny of no one will be decided by the opinions of people, but the doom of all will be fixed by God. How important is it, therefore, that we be prepared for that day? How important to cherish such feelings, form such plans, that they may be developed without involving us in shame and contempt. That's what the Apostle Paul's kind of pointing out to the Corinthians. I want you guys to be prepared now so that when you walk in for that judgment, that you'll be doing what's right. So one of the questions here says, and it's kind of rhetorical, I'll just toss it out for you to kind of let it roll around. It says, how much thought have you given to the rewards that you will receive at the judgment seat of Christ? That's one that we should kind of come up every once in a while and goes, is what I'm doing going to be, how will it be looked at? Am I doing it, like we mentioned in past lessons, the right motives? Are we doing it so that we will glorify God, not to glorify ourselves? This, well, you know, we like it, I've mentioned earlier, we like a word of encouragement. And that's always nice to get, you know, pat on the back for things done. But if we are relying on that, like I said, if that was our diet, spiritual diet, we're going to be woefully, you know, kind of meager. But another question that I've got here is on the basis of what we've learned about the Church of Corinth, what quality or characteristics might a Corinthian have considered highly desirable in a church leader? And to follow that up, it says, would God consider these qualities important consider the qualities or characteristics important? So what do you think the Corinthians were looking for? We've kind of talked about some of them. I know that if they're looking in reality for, you know, that well-dressed person, that guy that can be eloquent with his speech. You know, a lot of them liked Apollos because he was very eloquent in his speech, but, you know, the Apostle Paul, I can just envision this poor, you know, little guy coming in, probably not a whole lot of hair, and he's pretty, probably looks pretty frumpy and probably didn't speak in a real authoritative tone. But yet, you know, they would have taken those two, and as, you know, the popularity contest, they would have all looked at Apollos probably, because he's the guy we want to watch. The Apostle Paul, well, maybe we'll close our eyes and listen to him, but, you know, they were weighing on the things that you can see. And that's the thing. God looks beyond that. He looks at our heart. He knows what we're doing. And he knows what we're supposed to be doing. So with that, there's a plea for accord that he's looking at. He says, and now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And the lesson kind of talks, in your books, talks about, you know, adding and subtracting to Scripture, but adding and subtracting to somebody's ministry. When you look at them, you know, you're trying to point out that the sufficiency of Scripture for us, that it's our manual for living our lives. It's the authority in all that we do, how we act, how we react to things. And when we use Scripture and use it as the standard in which to judge people by, we'll find out that all of a sudden we're not trying to add to Scripture. like so many groups do, or we're not taking away from the scripture, but you know, there's often times that the people are tempted to add. A question would be, he says, why would a Bible teacher be tempted to add to the Word of God? And when you think about that, when somebody's tempted to add, they're trying to make it easier, maybe, to make it, I'm gonna bring this stuff in here. Well, when you think about that, oftentimes when they add to it, they're adding more restraints. Kind of like what Peter was pointing out in Acts 15, you know, where the church was trying to, you know, say, well, you got to be like a Jewish person in order to get saved. And the Gentiles, they were not exactly happy with that. Of course, on the other hand, they pointed out, okay, you Gentiles, you come by faith, but you got to give up some of this really bad actions you were doing out here. You know, stay out of the temple, stay away from the temple prostitutes. You know, live a life that's honoring. You know, eat food that's, you know, proper. And what they were trying to do was to unify people. This is, you know, so that they don't put them one against another, like the Corinthians were doing with their little groups. You know, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ. And it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory if thou hast not received it? So we're looking at here is that the pride and wisdom that they were looking at, they lead to self-exaltation and to exaltation of others, and not to looking at exalting Christ to where he belongs, to the head of that church, to be the leader. Not to say, well, you know, Apollos is the leader of our group. No. And Apollos would be, and Paul and others would be the first one to say, no, I may be teaching you some things, but I'm Christ's servant. I'm being used of God to teach this. Don't put me on the same pedestal with God or Christ. And that's what he's trying to point out. He's, you know, quit puffing these people up. So that, and what it was doing, it wasn't creating unification, it was creating division. And verse 8 says, now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. What they're saying is, you guys have been living like a king. You've been living like you are the most righteous ones, and we're going to see later on. They're actually talking about some of the people in there that were rich at the Lord's Supper. They were bringing a full blown meal to the Lord's Supper, and others were literally living on nothing. And yet they're trying to make themselves like, well, we are the group. We are the ones. And if you aren't part of us, you ain't nothing. And you know, just exalting themselves up. And they were losing sight of, oftentimes, we need to deny ourselves of many things. You know, no, we're not to take a vow of poverty, that you know, no matter how much we prosper, we have to give up everything. Well, we give up the worldly things to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But does it mean that, you know, we're going to come in here only, you know, we'll only drive a 30-year-old car that maybe will kind of run, you know, we're always begging to make sure it runs right, or we're standing on the street corner going, you know, with a sign. No, we're, you know, we live a life honoring to Christ. But these people were trying to live a life beyond that here on this earth. And Paul was trying to let them know that the life you're trying to live here is not the kind of life you should be living on the earth. and that and setting themselves apart, creating division. And as the book lesson pointed out, it says he was perhaps trying to imply that the Corinthians were living as if they thought they had begun ruling in the millennial kingdom, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. You know, it's be interesting to see how that is all set up, because right now we don't have that earthly kingdom. God hasn't set that up. But we're in an age where we're trying to see people saved. We're trying to bring them to live a life that's honoring to God. Does it mean they're going to live in poverty? No. Some people it might. But Paul wanted the Corinthians to mature so that they would be ready for when that time comes. And that's why, you know, we go to church. We fellowship together. We read. We study. We pray. We don't, you know, do like a lot of people do, you know, go, we don't mingle with anybody else, no. We're to take it out into the world. We're not monks. We're not hiding scripture under the rock. We're sharing scripture with people. He wants us to grow. He wants us to plant the seed. Like he said, he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So what he's trying to do is, as a faithful steward, that God gives each Christian what he deems best. In other words, what ministries, what talents we have, God has given to us. And he's given those to us as what he has seen. There's sometimes we come up and says, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm able to do this, 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 and this. He goes, well, okay. And he might show us in such a way to show us certain things that we'll do. Maybe it's just, you know, pulling weeds. If we had a yard out here, maybe it's just pulling weeds and keeping the lawn proper. You know, some people, maybe it's nothing more than, you know, shaking somebody's hand when they come through the door. And that's all they really do. But they do it sincerely and do it for the Lord. The last part there says, I would to God ye did reign, that ye might reign, that we also might reign with you. In other words, as a group, as a team. We started out talking about how important it is as a team member. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out to the Corinthians. You guys aren't team members. You're trying to be individuals. You're trying to set up this division. I need you guys to be a team. And that's the whole goal. Yeah, we can pat each other on the back. And when we do, we know in here when we get patted on the back, it's because it's coming from godly people, people that love the Lord, that want to see growth. That's what he wants for everybody. The people in Corinth, they weren't seeing that. They weren't doing that. And he was trying to encourage them. So we need to realize how important it is that as stewards, yep, we're not going to make the others happy sometimes, but we want to please the master. Let's pray.